It's time for After the Whistle Sports with your hosts, Presley, Lucas, and Brandon, providing you all the latest scores and sports news. Now it's time for After the Whistle.
Welcome into After the Whistle. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside Lucas and Presley. Guys, in the NBA, Cleveland, the first team to advance to the second round with a clean sweep of the Indiana Pacers. Look for Golden State to do the same tonight. They have a 3-0 lead on the Trailblazers, and that game is tonight. So I think the Warriors, I think they'll go ahead and clinch that series and move on to the second round as well.
First of all, congratulations to the Cavaliers. I seen it coming the whole time. I mean, I know the Pacers, they're a very good team. But when it comes playoff time, LeBron James is a hard player to stop. And when he's on your team, you're almost guaranteed to win almost every single time, unless you're facing the Warriors. With the Warriors, I think that...
Or the Spurs.
Tonight for the Warriors, I don't think they win. I think Damian Lillard goes off for a couple, maybe 30 points, and then CJ McCollum does the same thing. So I don't think the Trailblazers will go out with the loss tonight.
I got the Trailblazers losing. They're already down 3-0. The Warriors, I don't think that they're going to let that slip. Considering what happened in the finals last year, I don't think they want a repeat of that. But, yeah, I've got the Warriors in that one, and then I've got the Raptors over the Bucks.
Lucas, going back to what you said about LeBron, has never lost in the first round of the NBA playoffs, never lost. So that streak continues.
What is it, like 21 straight? Something like that?
It's either 21, 20
22.
Or 20.
Well, 22 now, I think.
It's in the 20s, I know that, because I've seen it on the NBA TV.
But, yeah, never lost an opening round series. I'm not sure what the number is exactly. But, yeah, and Presley, you hit on it. Toronto and Milwaukee, the winner of that will take on the Cavaliers. That series tied 2-2 as Toronto tied it up in Milwaukee. So that series heads back to Toronto. The Raptors look strong in Game 4. This series is kind of intriguing a little bit. Both teams have dominated one game, and then game's been close. So I don't know what to make of this series, really. I think Toronto's experience will win out, but I look for this series to go 7.
Yeah, I'm looking for it to go 7-2, but I hope the Bucks take it just because you're not used to them. You're not used to seeing them go any further. Like I'm not used to seeing them in the first round, and I haven't been watching basketball that long. But it would be nice to see the Bucks win. The Raptors, if DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are both on, they're a hard team to beat. If one of them's off, they're almost guaranteed to lose, as we've seen in the past couple games. I think 2 games ago, I think DeMar DeRozan only scored 8 points, and they got busted by the Bucks. And then the game after that, he scored 30, and they beat the Bucks. So I think if they're both on, they're a very hard team to beat.
I mean, you say you're not used to seeing the Bucks. I mean, you aren't really used to seeing the Raptors either. I mean, yeah, last year they made it kind of deep or whatever, lost to the Cavs. But, I mean, before all that, I mean, they weren't really making deep playoff runs or anything like that. But, yeah, like you said, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, that's arguably the best backcourt that you can get in a 1-2 guard in the NBA right now, and besides Curry and Thompson. But they're both amazing players, just like the Greek Freak. The Greek Freak, he leads the Bucks in every statistic in averaging per game. He has 22.9 points a game, 8.8 rebounds a game, and 5.4 assists a game. That all leads his team. I feel like if he could get a lot more help from his team, then they'd be really hard to beat then, because right now he's just carrying them.
Yeah, game 5 tonight in Toronto. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. Big game 5. Usually, if a series is tied 2-2, winner of game 5 goes on to win somewhere around 80% of the time.
I've got them in 6. I've got the Raptors winning in 6.
Another game tonight, you have in the Eastern Conference, you have the Hawks in Atlanta taking on the Washington Wizards. That game at 8 o'clock on TNT. Washington leads this series 2-1. but Washington won their two games at home. Atlanta won the other night in Atlanta. So I think Atlanta gets it done at home again tonight and evens this series up.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it's going to be hard for them because, like, John Wall, he's an amazing player. And if he's on a streak, he's going to be hard to stop. And if Bradley Beal gets on there with him, it's just hard. But I think the Hawks can win the night because Markieff Morris, called Dwight Howard or somebody a baby. And he basically responded was, what was the score tonight? Who won? So I think that matchup's going to be very intriguing to watch tonight. But I have the Hawks winning this game.
I disagree with both of y'all. I've got the Wizards. I think that Atlanta's guard play just isn't up to par. I don't think that it's on the level as the Washington Wizards with John Wall and Bradley Beal. And, they've got post play of Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard, but, I mean, other than that, their guard play, I mean, they aren't really scoring like that. They've got Dennis Schroeder, but, I mean, he hasn't really done much scoring-wise. He gets some assists here and there, but I just think that the Wizards are not too overpowering, but, I mean, I just think that they aren't just going to lose to the Hawks anymore.
Well, the two games in Washington won 114-107 and 109-101. So both of those games were pretty close, 7-8. The game in Atlanta beats Washington 116-98. So a little bit of separation there. I'm not saying that correlates to anything, but Atlanta did have a wider margin of victory at home. So I think Atlanta is, I think they're comfortable playing at home. Atlanta definitely will have the home court advantage. Rowdy crowd in Atlanta tonight. So I still think the Hawks get it done. Unless John Wall and Bradley Beal just go off. Now, Wall has been playing extremely well. Beal's been struggling a little bit. And if Markieff Morris, if he plays well, I think the Wizards would get it done. But I don't think that'll happen tonight. I think the Hawks win and even the series. Also in the Eastern Conference, rounding this one out, last night Boston evens the series against Chicago and ties it at 2. Game 5 will be Wednesday. What did y'all see in that series?
So far, you can just see the difference between when Isaiah Thomas is on the floor and when he's not on the floor. When he was on the floor last night, they was up, I think, about 25 or maybe 15. I don't quite remember. He got taken out of the game for a rest, and then as he was off the floor, the Bulls came back and tied the game. And as soon as they put him back in the game, the lead got even higher. And I think it's because where he's so small and quick, if he drives into the paint, 9 times out of 10, he's going to get a foul call. And he's a very good free throw shooter. So you can just see the difference of the Celtics of when he's on the floor and when he's not on the floor.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you don't have Isaiah Thomas out there on the floor for the Celtics, they aren't really going to have a lot of success out there. Leads in points and assists for them. And Jimmy Butler, I saw him play very well. 33 points with 9 assists, almost had a double-double there. I think it's really going to be hard for the Bulls to keep winning and keep playing close with them with Rondo being out like that and them not really having that solid point guard for them and leader of the team. I mean, you got D-Wade, but just your floor general and Rondo being out, that's really going to hurt them a lot.
Yeah, and I think one thing that that helped the Celtics was, like you said, one thing with Rondo going out, that definitely hurt the Bulls. But with the Celtics, these past two games, they've really got a lot of help from their role players. Horford stepped up big. Bradley stepped up. Jay Crowder. They've really got some help for Isaiah Thomas, and I think that made the difference in these last two games. And with Rondo being out, I think the Celtics go on and win the series in 6. I think they get it done in 6, maybe 7. We will see, but I do think the Celtics win. Moving on to the Western Conference, we already talked about the Warriors and the Trailblazers. the 4-5 matchup, however, Clippers and the Jazz. Jazz tied that series up last night 2-2.
Yeah, I really haven't been keeping up with these games, but I've seen on Instagram where Blake Griffin is out due to, I think,
Big toe injury.
A toe injury, so that's going to play a huge factor in the rest of the series because Blake Griffin, he's a very dominant player, and it's going to be hard to win without him.
Yeah, I agree. Blake Griffin being out, that's going to hurt them a lot. But all around, it wasn't that bad of a game until I saw the back end of it, and that's when the Clippers, they just fell apart. I mean, Jamal Crawford, he played tremendously well, coming off the bench with 25 points. He was 9 of 13 from the field with 5 of 7 from 3, and he also had 2 assists and a rebound. He played 31 minutes. Played really well. J.J. Redick really needs to hit his shots. He was 3 of 11, 12 points, though. And Chris Paul, I mean, it was kind of weird watching that last night. Chris Paul, I mean, I've seen him that frustrated towards the end of a game like that. I mean, he just looked like he was out of it, like he knew they were beat. But the Jazz, having Rudy Gobert back, that was really good for them. He played a big factor in that game. He didn't miss a shot. He was 6 of 6 from the field with 15 points. It's really going to be interesting to see how this one works out because, I mean, really it could go either way, I think.
Yeah, getting Gobert back really helped the Jazz take some of the pressure off Gordon Hayward. But with Griffin being out, I look for the Jazz to win this series. It's hard for me to put faith in the Clippers. They've shown time and time again that I don't want to say choke, but that's the only word that's coming to my mind right now. So I'm going to take the Jazz in this one to win this series, and I think it goes 7. And the winner of that one more than likely will go on to face the Golden State Warriors. And then we'll move on over to the 3-6 matchup with the Rockets and the Thunder. Now, this one, whenever the matchups were first announced, I thought this was going to be a great series. However, it's turned out to be anything but that. And Houston has just dominated this series.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of the first game, and I really seen that Russell Westbrook really wasn't getting any help. But I can't say that for the rest of the games because his team was actually pretty much balling out. Taj Gibson, he bought out, I think, 2 games ago. And Victor Oladipo, he's giving his all every single night. And Steven Adams, he's just rebounding balls like crazy. Then after the game, a reporter asked Steven Adams a question about why they're not performing well when Russell Westbrook is on the bench. And Westbrook wouldn't let Adams answer the question because he thinks if he answers that question, all the reporter is trying to do is split the team up. So it was a nice leadership role of him stepping in and defending his team like that. But I think for the Thunder to win, I think Russell Westbrook may need more help. I'm not too for sure, but as I've seen in the last couple of games, he's had help. So I'm not really too sure on what to go with right there.
Russell Westbrook just dominated. I mean, 35 points, 14 assists, and 14 rebounds. I said I failed a triple double coming before that game, like we talked about last week. But I mean, it was just he just couldn't get it done. I mean, the Thunder just couldn't get it done. I mean, the Rockets were just too much to handle. Harden 16, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, but all around they all just played very well. Eric Gordon coming off the bench with 18. Lou Williams coming off the bench with 18. Hilario coming off the bench with 28. And Trevor Ariza putting up 14. I mean, you got guys putting up that much all together like that, all having double-digit points like that. You're a hard team to beat. And, I mean, the Thunder did it too, but, I mean, their bench, they just – when people came off the bench to come in for people like Westbrook or Adams or Gibson, whoever it may be, they just didn't really fill that role very well like they should have. But I thought it was going to be a really close series, like you said, Brandon, but It's just went backwards.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that the Rockets just have the better team. And the games in this series have been close, except for game one. The games have been close with the score, but it for a series to be competitive, you really want it to be 3-2 right now, or 2-2, and it's just not these. The game five will be tomorrow in Houston. I look for Houston to wrap the series up and advance on to the second round. But like you said, we just thought the series would be closer. The games have been close, but Oklahoma City just can't get it done. The winner of that series will advance to take on the winner of San Antonio and Memphis. That series tied 2-2. A lot of people probably surprised here. San Antonio is up 2-0. Series heads to Memphis, and the Grizzlies win 2 straight at home, tied the series.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised for sure. I have the Spurs in the finals against the Cavs. Mike Conley, I think he's one of the most underrated players, or point guards at least, in the NBA. I mean, that guy is just a baller. He's averaging like 20.5 points per game right now, along with 6.3 assists per game. I mean, he's just carrying that team. And when you got a team with good chemistry like that, I mean, Zach Randolph and some others, you're a hard team to beat. Zach Randolph averaging he's averaging 8.2 rebounds a game. I'm really surprised by the Grizzlies right now, and I don't know that if they win this game, I don't know if the Spurs even do end up winning the series.
Yeah, I'm very surprised too, and this right now is probably my favorite series of the playoffs. I mean, the Cavs, they swept them, and the Warriors are probably going to sweep the Trailblazers maybe. But who would have thought that it'd be 2-2 now? I thought they was going to sweep the Grizzlies, but as you see, that's not going to happen. I think the Spurs really came in not sleeping on the Grizzlies, but I think they were taking them too lightly. And then for the Grizzlies, how can you stop Kawhi Leonard? I mean, that man was completely balling in their last game, and if it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard, I don't think the game would have been nowhere as close as it was. He hit two huge shots at the end of the game, but I guess the Grizzlies got the best of them.
Something else to point out, Vince Carter, he can still ball at the old age that he's at right now. May not be able to fly as good as he used to, but their last game when the Grizzlies won it 110-108 in overtime, Vince Carter put up 13 points. He was 3 of 5 on threes and 5 of 9 from the field, playing 33 minutes. I was really surprised at watching him like that, still balling at an old age.
Yeah, he's a nice role player for the Grizzlies. But Lucas, back to what you said about Kawhi Leonard. If you're the Grizzlies, Leonard's going to get his. I mean, there's nothing that you can really do. You can slow him down, maybe. But he's going to get his. You got to keep everybody else from beating you. And in the first two games, that was Tony Parker. I know they slowed him down in game three. Not sure what his stats were in game four. But I think what really changed this series was after game two, David Fizdale, coach of the Grizzlies, went on his little rant about how Kawhi Leonard shot more free throws than the entire Grizzlies team did. How he thought that the refs were rooking his team. And I don't think that – I don't think that changed how the refs called the game, how the refs looked at the game, the amount of fouls they called. It didn't change that, but I think it inspired his team and let them know that he had their back, and I think it really inspired the Grizzlies to go out and – as we saw in games three and four, they played with fire underneath them, got two wins, and now this series heads back to San Antonio tomorrow for game five. It'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies play on the road.
Yeah, if I'm the Grizzlies, I think this game is a must win, because if you win this one, you're up 3-2, then you're coming back to Memphis. And if you win that one, series is done. So I think this game coming up is going to be a huge one for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, if the Grizzlies win it, I don't know that the Spurs do end up winning the series. I mean, it's hard to win two in a row in a tight, close series like that at the end of it. But, yeah, Kawhi Leonard for sure is going to get his. Tony Parker, he actually did pretty good in game four, I believe, 22 points, I think. I know Kawhi had 43. So, but, yeah, that's going to be the key for the Grizzlies is if they can slow Kawhi down just a little bit. May not be able to slow him down all the way, but if you can just get him off his game just a little bit, and especially in close games or whatever, like towards the end of the game, fourth quarter, if you can just slow him down a little bit, then you really do have a lot of hope.
Shift gears a little bit, talk about baseball. Last week we talked about how the Giants were struggling. That continues as Madison Bumgarner on the DL.
Yeah, when I first heard of this, it kind of broke my heart because I'm a huge Giants fan. And yes, they're doing terrible so far this year. They're sitting at 6-13, which is last place in the NL West. And Colorado is sitting at 13-6, which is, that kind of amazes me. I figured that'd be turned around. But honestly, I don't know what the problem is with the Giants. I don't think they're doing bad. I think the pitching is doing great, actually. But losing Madison Bumgarner for maybe a couple weeks is really going to hurt this team.
Yeah, speaking of their pitching, I mean, really you've got Bumgarner and Cueto and then Samardzija, but Samardzija, I mean, he's just a roller coaster. You don't know what you're going to get from him. I mean, when they were playing the Diamondbacks, I remember watching, he was pitching great. I mean, he's just magnificent. He was dealing the whole game. Went through, like, I think 5 innings without giving up a run, and then just like he was already giving up. He gave up like 5 runs and they took him out.
Also, last week we talked about how the Cubs were struggling, as well as the Indians, the two World Series teams from last fall. That's changed in a week's time. Cleveland is tied for first in the AL Central, and Chicago has a half a game lead over Cincinnati in the NL Central.
Yeah, I saw that coming with the Cubs. I mean, we've got bats like that in your lineup. You're a hard team to beat day in and day out. The guys you play against, they may get lucky here and there and beat you. But if you've got guys like Wilson Contreras, Addison Russell, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, I mean, and the list goes on, you're a hard team to beat day in and day out, whether everybody's playing or not, because the guys that you also have on the bench could be on just about any other MLB team and start too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was looking at their lineup the other day, and I never knew it, but they're really, really stacked.
Yeah.
And just because of that, I think they might go as a two-peat this year and maybe win another World Series championship. I mean, they have the lineup to do it. The only thing left is, do they want to do it?
Yeah, I agree. Another big key for them is going to be pitching. I mean, you're going to have to get John Lackey back on his game, which I'm sure will end up happening. And Kyle Hendricks, reigning NL Cy Young Award. I haven't really been impressed by him so far this year. He's had a couple of bad outings, but if he can get it going again too, and John Lackey, then they'll definitely be a hard team to beat because you've got Jake Arrieta and John Lester at the top of that rotation too.
Then in the AL East, you have Baltimore sitting atop that division. Yankees a game and a half behind them, and the Red Sox 2 games out. I know a lot of people had Boston as a early World Series favorite. A lot of people had the Yankees as maybe a dark horse. Any surprise there with Baltimore, though, at the top of the division?
I'm not really surprised. I mean, they've had a player every year. One of their players in the past 5 years, I believe, has led the MLB in home runs. And really, if they have just decent pitching, I mean, their pitching don't even have to be just outstanding, better than everybody's. If they have decent pitching, then they're going to be a really good team because they can hit the ball. You got Manny Machado, Mark Trumbo, Trey Mancini is coming on for them this year in the DH spot and a little bit of first. And then you've got guys, experienced guys like J.J. Hardy, and then you've got Jonathan Scope out there. I wasn't really surprised by that, but Boston, I kind of feel like it's a Boston-esque kind of theme that they've got on. They either start off really hot and then get cold, or they just start off not too hot and then they get really hot towards the end of the season. Dustin Pedroia going down, that's going to hurt them. But I believe once they get back David Price and Tyler Thornburg, like I said, they're really going to be a hard team to beat.
Definitely going to be interesting to see how everything turns out in baseball, and also how these NBA series are going to turn out as they advance on into the second round. But that's going to do it for us this week here on After the Whistle on WKCS.
That's it for After the Whistle Sport. Tune in next week for more updates.